And now to hunger. In Wisconsin, the pandemic has intensified the harsh realities of food insecurity. One in seven Wisconsin children faces hunger. And according to Feeding America, charitable organizations aren't able to fully meet the needs of families facing hunger. Do you donate to a food pantry, or are you a volunteer packing food boxes? Tell us about your involvement, what you see. 800-642-1234. Nancy Rankus is Executive Director of Feed My People Food Bank in Eau Claire, serving 14 counties in western Wisconsin. Nancy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. We also have Ellen Carlson, Executive Director of Middleton Outreach Ministry, serving Middleton, Cross Plains, and the west side of Madison for nearly 40 years through food programs, other services as well. Ellen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Ellen, let's start with you. What does 2021, what is it shaping up to be like? Explain what food insecurity looks like now in Dane County compared to last year.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of 2021, I think a lot of people were ready to take a deep breath and sort of say, you know, that thing happened and things are going to look different this year. And I think this year has been really challenging for our community and for people who are food insecure and for our food pantries. A lot of our food pantries are still serving people through outdoor distribution, which means that being able to come to a food pantry looks a lot different than it did pre-pandemic. And there's a lot of people who are still really struggling to find the foods that they need and to make all their ends meet.
Nancy, how about you? Feed My People Food Bank distributed 8 million pounds of food last year. What does 2021 look like?
I would very much echo what Ellen had stated, that I think we all did think that, shoo, we're past that. And what we found was that it was, if anything, it was probably just more confusing for not only our pantries, but our guests. How can we safely continue to serve the increase in need? While we didn't see as large of an increase as what we saw in 2021, we're still seeing about a 5% increase of where we were at the same time in 2019. And so for us, still continuing to meet that need with supply chain issues, with safely serving our guests, it has definitely proven to be a very challenging year for feeding hungry people.
I want to pick up on that word confusing. What do you mean by being a confusing time?
I think that we were all ready to go back to the way we were. Where guests were able to come into pantries, pick the food that they wanted to pick, and that we would really go back to where we were pre-pandemic. And what we found was that a lot of our pantries were concerned about doing that because we weren't as far into being past the pandemic. We really weren't past it at all. And so it was really, how do we continue to safely rescue that food, get it into the hands of our pantries, and continue to safely serve people? And for a lot of those pantries, it was a continuation of what we've been doing in 2020, which was outside distribution to ensure that everybody stayed safe.
Ellen, we've seen pandemic aid, state pandemic aid as well, filtering into so many different aspects of society. What aid is coming your way, and where do you put those dollars to best use?
Yeah, so the aid is kind of, you know, coming from all different directions. I think probably the one of the ones that I like to tell people about the most is really the money that's going directly to our clients, right? So food share dollar increases, all the pandemic EBT dollars, those made a really big difference for people because they were able to go directly to the store and buy the things that their families needed. But the other, I guess, silver lining of all of this is that there has been a lot of attention on food insecurity. And so dollars have been coming to the county and the city, and a lot of those dollars have gone to some of our food bank partners so that they've been able to buy fresh foods, especially local foods, to kind of help out the local economy and get those foods directly to our food pantries.
How about that question to you, Nancy? Where has aid been coming from and how have you used it?
We've seen similar programs available, obviously, to our guests as well. The other thing that I would add is the local support of our local communities that we serve, businesses that have stepped up to help either provide contributions to the food bank or to some of our local partners, individuals in our community that have stepped up. We really, just like we thought we were past the pandemic, we really weren't sure what funding would look like in 2021. And from our perspective, our local donors in the 14 counties that we serve, above and beyond what we're seeing from some of those statewide programs, have continued to help support the work that we're doing, and we're grateful for that.
I'm hearing echoes from both of you about local foods, local businesses stepping up. This is really about knowing the needs in your community and then finding how to meet those needs. Ellen, how can you speak to that?
Yeah, every food pantry operates slightly differently. And so I would just recommend, for people who are interested in learning more about how, food security needs are met in their community or how they can support those food pantries, to really focus in and to, look at websites, make phone calls, whatever it takes, talk to volunteers, and to learn really kind of from the inside what it is that can support your local food pantry. I think there's a lot of assumptions because it's easy to, right? It's like, oh, they need a can of food, or they need soup, or they need
peanut butter.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. We've heard it. Yep.
Yeah, and sometimes they do. Sometimes those are the needs, and oftentimes there are other things. Like right now, one of the things we're looking for donations for are the kinds of things that enhance your meals, right? Honey and hot sauce and spices and things like that. So it's often things that people don't think of. And there's also a lot of food pantries who get their food from different ways and need different resources to do that. They may need dollars more than they need food donations. So really kind of looking at each food pantry and what their needs are, because they know what the needs in the community are best.
Nancy, what would you say along those lines for donations and the best way to help?
The best way to help is that if you have food in your cupboard that you're not going to eat, we would ask that you don't throw it away, that you distribute, that you donate that food to either your local pantry or bring it to Feed My People Food Bank, and we'll make sure that it gets distributed out to a guest in need. But what the best way typically to help, because food banks purchase food at a wholesale price and not a retail price, it's really better for you, if you're comfortable, to make a financial donation either to your local pantry or to the food bank. Because of our buying power, we can stretch that dollar into four meals. So you going to a grocery store to buy that jar of peanut butter might not be as effective as if you donate that dollar to your local pantry, to a food bank, where we can stretch that dollar into four meals and buy multiple jars of peanut butter.
Nancy Rankus leads Feed My People Food Bank in Eau Claire. Ellen Carlson here, head of Middleton Outreach Ministry, as we talk about the role of food banks, the work being done to help support families facing hunger. With your thoughts and questions, what do you see as the root causes of hunger in your community? And what do you want Wisconsin communities to do to help families who can't make ends meet, who are food insecure? Still time to talk about this issue. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the work and the services of food pantries and efforts in Wisconsin to fight hunger. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So when we talk about the term food insecurity, that really means that a person has limited or uncertain access to adequate food. Do you volunteer at a local pantry? How does it make you feel? What does your local food pantry offer? Is it meeting the needs in your community? And if you donate food, how often? What do you give? Do you look at food that you may not be using? Join in, 800-642-1234. Ellen Carlson is here, Executive Director of Middleton Outreach Ministry. And Nancy Rankus, who is Executive Director of Feed My People Food Bank in Eau Claire. They're with us for about 9 more minutes. Nancy, we have seen really significant inflation. World food prices are up 30% this year, according to the UN's Food Price Index. How is inflation affecting what you buy for food?
It definitely has is a challenge. Not only that, but also just being able to have access to the food that we're trying to purchase has now become a problem because of the supply chain. So trying to stretch our dollars as much as we can. You know, gas has gone up 57%. Meat's gone up over 15%, milk 8.5%. So for us, it's making sure that we have the food available that our pantries need to get from us, but also making sure that we're being fiscally responsible and stretching the dollars that we have as much as we can. So definitely a challenge getting the food. We've had oatmeal on order, I believe it's for 2 months. And it's sitting somewhere, and getting a truck to bring it to us has been our biggest challenge. So definitely we are having those challenges every single day with the food supply chain and getting access to it.
Wow. So really supply chain is impacting, you know, your work. I mean, just waiting for a simple shipment of oatmeal. Are there other foods, Nancy, that are in that same predicament?
We're starting to see it with canned goods. We are partners with the food bank up in Minneapolis. We're great partners with them, Second Harvest Heartland. And there we get about 3 times a week, we'll get a truckload from them. And some of the things they're telling us that they're starting to see, one of the biggest concerns is canned goods. There are, and for a while it was hamburger. We had several weeks where we just simply didn't have access to it. So it really depends on the week, sometimes the day, what our challenges are.
Really uneven challenges. Ellen, you know, what are you seeing in terms of supply chain or inflationary impacts?
We've been able to really, I think, mitigate kind of some of those concerns still at this point. I think our biggest concerns are, of course, that, you know, as food prices go up, that means food share dollars don't go as far. It means that the budgets that people have to go to the grocery store and buy what they need just don't stretch as far. And so we've been able to, you know, internally kind of continue to have the things that we need. But I think we're all sort of in a kind of a holding pattern, just waiting and watching, knowing that it's going to start impacting people's budgets as they move forward, and that it might become harder for us to, you know, always have the things on hand that we want to have. At this point, still, we're able to get what we need, mostly thanks, you know, as Nancy said, just to the generosity of the community and through food banking partnerships and, you know, the ways we rescue food and things like that. But we know it could become a concern.
I want to look for a moment at volunteers and the volunteer force. And, you know, Ellen, you've expanded delivery options to people in case they can't get to the Middleton food pantry during regular hours. What are your volunteer numbers like?
Yeah, you know, it's been really funny because one of the things that I think most food pantries have really relied on is this volunteer workforce. I mean, we have very limited staff, and we've really always sort of set up our operations, right, to be able to use as many volunteers as we can to make things happen. And so when the pandemic hit, all of a sudden it was like, you know, you wanted to have the least number of people around as possible. So it's been challenging because people have always wanted to come out and help, and we've had to say, no, please stay home and be safe, right? Or especially early in the pandemic, that's how you can actually help the most. But as we've gone on now, we've been able to kind of, you know, kind of bring more people back in, especially as we have more safety measures in place. And so one of those things, right, is to have the volunteers out doing deliveries and things like that. So we're trying to sort of shift how we think about how we've used volunteers in the past to find new opportunities. And also it means that some of the volunteer opportunities that people have had that they've been really excited to come back to may or may not look the same, right, as we move forward.
What might be an example of that?
You know, so one of the ways that we had run the food pantry in the past is really kind of volunteer intensive, having lots of volunteers around to, you know, help with different things inside the food pantry itself. But as we're thinking about how we might open again for the food pantry in the future, wanting to make sure we have more space for people and thinking about how we might position volunteers differently in that space. So a lot of their day-to-day interactions might look different than they did before. Our hope is that the experience for our clients, which of course is the most important thing, is the safest and best for them as possible.
Nancy, we'll get to volunteers on your side in Eau Claire in just a moment, but I want to bring on a caller. Ellen is joining us from Cedarburg. Ellen, hi.
Hi. Hi, I was actually on the road between Milwaukee and Cedarburg, but I've stopped. I'd like to say that I've been on both sides of the food pantry, both as a volunteer and as a client, and except for one pantry who had its own garden in the summer, I find the quality of food given to people very poor. Lots of cans and boxes and processed food. And I also want to bring in the issue of poverty. I don't think we use the word poor very often. And I think there are tremendous numbers of poor people out here right now. And it's that is not being addressed. There are issues of health, like obesity, that plague the poor people, and it's an issue that deeply troubles me. I have a friend who gets a 2-pound loaf of Velveeta. I mean, people need to eat better food, and poor people deserve to eat as well as anybody else. That's my comment.
Ellen, thank you so much for pulling over and calling in on that. I want to allow Nancy, you to go first there on this issue regarding not so many processed foods in that box.
We know that there's a direct correlation between hungry people and obesity. And one of the things that food pantries, food banks are working very hard on is trying to rescue and bring into our distributions healthier products. And we here at Food My People actually were just lucky enough to receive a grant where we'll be going through all of the food in our warehouse and really categorizing that food to really understand what is the nutritional value of the food that we currently have, which will then allow us to really focus on what are the foods that we're missing that we need to find a source to be able to bring in. Eating healthy is expensive. And when you're looking at higher gas prices, and you know, we're just trying to put gas in your car to get to work, it's a challenge to purchase that healthy food. And we understand that. And so we're working very hard to try to bring as much of that food into our warehouse and get it out to our pantries as we can.
Nancy and Ellen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you so much.
Nancy Rankus, Executive Director of Feed My People Food Bank in Eau Claire. Ellen Carlson, Executive Director of Middleton Outreach Ministry. We have links to their organizations at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kedar Cherkent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.